Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for another great day, another beautiful day to gather at your feet to hear your word. Lord, I pray that the words that will proceed out of my mouth shall not be of man's wisdom. Lord, set aside my weaknesses and my deficiencies and let your word have its way. Holy Spirit, add your power. Holy Spirit, follow your word with signs and with wonders. Bring restoration, bring healing, bring refreshness in the name of Jesus. Anyone who is weary at the entrance of your word, let there be strength, let there be healing. Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us. We give you utterance, we give you way, we make room for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you clap your hands together for the Holy Spirit and please be seated. Please turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. Revelation 22 and verse number 17. My message this afternoon is come. Come. Have you heard that word before? Come. Amen. Come. Tell someone, come. Turn to another one and say, come. Say, the master says, come. Amen. Revelation 22 and verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Amen. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22 and verse 17. The New Living Translation reads, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. Hallelujah. Now, you notice all through the Bible that God invites people to come to him. God is always inviting people to come to him. When Jesus came, he saw men fishing and he called them to come to him. Hallelujah. This is the season of God's kindness, church. It is the season of God's love. Hallelujah. It is a period of invitation. God's kindness towards mankind. Amen. It is a season that God is inviting you. God is calling you to come. It is a season when he's saying, come. Scripture says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The church is the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Hallelujah. Now, this season of invitation varies for different people. The season when God is calling you to come varies for different people. Your season is different from my season. Do I have your attention? Your season is different from my season. For some, the season of the invitation is 28 years. For some, it is 39 years. For another person, it's 58 years. And for another person, it is 85 years or 95 years. Hallelujah. You only have a season to honor the invitation that God is offering you. You have a period. You have a season. Hallelujah. But there comes a time when it will no longer be an invitation. There is a period in your life, each person's life, every individual person, there is a period in your life where it will no longer be an invitation. Amen. The season of invitation will end, and what will follow will be a final judgment. There will be no longer invitation. You will not hear the word come any longer. This is your season. This is your season. It's for a period. Amen. The season of invitation will end. Beloved, we cannot fool God forever. The season of invitation will end. It will end. And what will follow will be judgment. Hallelujah. You know, the five brothers in the story of Lazarus and the rich man had a season. And they heard invitation. And they heard invitation. And they thought that the invitation, if it is really coming from God, it ought to be very special. If the invitation is coming from God, it is God that is really inviting, then it ought to be very special. It ought to come from some special, some unique person. It ought to come from some unusual person. But the invitation is very simple. See, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, verse 29, the brother was negotiating with Abraham. The brother was a rich man. The brother was the rich man who died and went to hell and saw the reality of hell. And he pleaded with Abraham. And he said in 29, Abraham said unto him, verse 28, it says, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. He wanted Lazarus, a dead man, to go back and tell his brothers who are still alive, who are still in their season. He says, go and if you can send Lazarus to go and warn my brothers, so they don't end up in this place. Verse 29. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have Moses and the prophets. The invitation is still the same. It is very simple. It is come. It will not change for you. Neither will it change for your brothers. The invitation is come. Is somebody listening? It is very simple. He said to them, nay, Father Abraham, but if one If one went out, one went unto them from the dead. If someone from the dead went to them, he says, nay, Father Abraham. The rich man replied, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, some unique person, someone that we all know that has died, Joanna, and that person is sent to you to say that I died. I was in an accident and I died, and it was in the news. Everyone was at my funeral. Everyone that knows me knows that I died and I was buried. And here I am. God has sent me, you in particular, purposefully, to come and warn you to come. He says, if someone from the dead were to come and tell them, they will repent. They will repent. Then it will be very unique. Then they will believe. And they will repent. And Abraham said to him, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And that invitation is for a season. It's for a season. You cannot fool God forever. It's for a season. Hallelujah. Anyone who does not heed this invitation will pay dearly for refusing this great invitation. You will pay dearly. I have a few points to share with you, and I'm done. Number one, come. Say come. God is inviting you to come and enjoy the waters of life freely. Come and enjoy the waters of life freely. There is no charge, because all charges have been paid already by the blood of Jesus. There is no charge to you. It doesn't cost you anything. It says, come. Hallelujah. You and I do not deserve it. But the invitation is thrown to you. We do not deserve it. But God, out of his mercy and his love, gave us his only son to pay the price for us. All we have to do is to accept this great invitation. It is as simple as that. Come. Come. Donna, it says come. As simple as that. It will not be presented to you in any other special way. No one will rise up from the dead to come to tell you. It is as simple as that. Have you not heard many stories about people who have gone, they have died and they have gone to hell? Have you not heard that story before? People are still not repenting. People do not repent, though someone will rise from the dead and come to tell them. It is as simple as that. It's presented in this form. It says, come. You see, when someone is having a wedding and they invite people, they invite a few people, others feel rejected. When they specifically name some few guests that they are inviting, others feel angry. They feel rejected. They feel they are not special. Isn't that so? They feel that you don't deem them important enough to be at your wedding. If they've been friends with you, they get very offended that you didn't invite me. That you invited certain specific people. But when the person is having a wedding and invites everyone, then you see people don't respond. then they have to send another message. RSVP. We need to make reservation. Are you coming or not? Respond yes or no. We are saying come. Are you coming or not? When things are presented to you that easily and freely, it doesn't have that value to you. But when it's presented in a very special way, that is when you receive it. But the invitation is to all. And it says, come. 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 It says, come. People don't value things when they are presented to them freely. This invitation is presented freely to you. But it was bought with a high price. It is presented to you freely, but it was bought with a high price. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, it says, for ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price. The Amplified Version says, you were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. The New Living Translation says, for God bought you with a high price. With a high price. But it's offered to you like that. It's offered to you like that. Someone can have a very high and expensive wedding, but when you are invited freely, when it's a general invitation, you don't have any value to that kind of invitation. Is somebody listening to me? It says, come. Isaiah 55 verse 1, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hallelujah. The offer, the invitation is the same for the rich and for the poor. Whether you have money or you don't, whether you are rich or poor, is a simple invitation, and it says, come. Come. Number two, come. The second point is come. The first point is come. The second point is come. God is inviting you to come to Jesus, even though you are laden with sin and many other evils. You are laden with sin and many other evils. God says, come. Amen. Many people do not want to associate with people who have problems. Do you know that? When people have problems, many people will not like to associate with them. If you have problems, people don't like to associate with you. Many people will associate with you until they see that you have too many problems. And then they start moving away from you. Or you don't know that. People who know you have a lot of problems, they stay away from you. They don't want to come around you anymore. But God is not like that. Our God is not like that. He's calling you to come with your problems. He knows your problems. And he's calling you to come. Matthew 11 verse 28, the scripture we read, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You are laden with sins. You have a bunch of problems. You are burdened with burdens. And he says, I will give you rest. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen. This is the God you serve. He says, come. And you look into your life and you know that you don't deserve to come into the presence of God. You know you do not qualify to come into the presence of God. Even just before you came to church, the words that came from your mouth, you know you don't deserve to be in His presence. The things that came on your mind, you know you don't deserve it. The things that you saw and certain thoughts came to you, even in the church, the person that you saw and certain thoughts came to you, you know you don't deserve to be in the presence of God. Yet He says, come. He came because of people like you and like me, who are laden with problems, who are laden with evil, whose lives are filled with darkness. But He says, come. Come. Say, come. Luke 5:32, it says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Say, come. The third point is, come. Jesus is inviting you to come because He wants to heal you. Jesus wants to heal you. Amen. You know, once there was a certain blind man who lived in Jericho, and his name was called Bartimaeus. He was a beggar, and he sat along a street that was an entry point into the city. Now, one day, he sat there, and he heard a sound like the shuffling of many feet. So he asked around what was happening, what was going on. So someone told him that Jesus was passing by. Jesus was in the area. Now when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples told him to be quiet. They hush him. Stop the noise. You are disturbing. But he shouted even the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. But Bartimaeus continued shouting until Jesus told him to come. If you read a narrative from Mark chapter 10, verse 46, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many charged him that he should keep quiet. But he cried out the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Is somebody listening to me? Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. To be called. And they called the blind man. This afternoon, Jesus is commanding me to call you. You may not hear the voice of Jesus himself speaking to you, but he's commanding you to be called. It is a calling of God. God is calling you. Jesus heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus, and he commanded him to be called. So he heard someone call him that the Lord says, come. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? He heard someone. He cried to the Lord, and he heard someone say, the Lord says, come. Beloved, you are charged to call someone to God. He has commanded someone to be called by you. Blind Bartimaeus called on Jesus, and the Bible says he heard him. There are many that are crying unto the Lord, and he has heard them, and he has commanded that they be called. Is somebody listening to me? And they said, he is calling you. He is calling you. He saith, coming. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. He calleth thee. Jesus is calling you. Be of good comfort. He's calling you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Hallelujah. Blind Bartimaeus received an invitation from Jesus. And the Bible says, casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. I don't know what garment is keeping you away from God, but he says, come. I don't know what is in the world is keeping you away from God, but he says, come. It's a season. Would you be like blind Bartimaeus to cast away your garment and come to God? He says, come. Come. I don't know what is holding you back, but the Bible says this man rose up, cast his garment, and came to Jesus. You need to cast away anything that prevents you from coming. He says, come. And it's a season. The invitation is now. Church, the invitation is now. The season is now. Number four. What's number four? Come. Number four, come. Jesus is inviting you to come because he loves you. Jesus is inviting you to come because he loves you. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is calling you because of love. It is out of love that anyone will invite you. It is out of love that anyone will call you to come. You know, there's a story that Bishop told us. He says there was a certain king who had many wives. Now one day, He said he met one of the wives. This is a true story. He met one of the wives of the king, and she told him that she was the king's favorite. She's the king's favorite, so Bishop asked her, "How do you know that you are the king's favorite?" And do you know what the answer was? How many of you want to know what the answer was? She answered. When he asked him, she asked her, "How do you know that you are the king's favorite?" She answered. She said, "I am the king's favorite because he asked me to come to him all the time. He asked me to come to him all the time. He calls for me all the time. Out of the wives, I am the one that he says come all the time." He says he calls for me, but he doesn't call the other wives as often. The other wives don't hear come as often. I am the favorite one, and that is why he calls for me all the time. So he says, "I asked, at what times does she call for you? At what time does she call for you?" And then she said, "At any time," she replied. "He can call me to come in the morning. He can call me to come in the afternoon or in the evening or sometimes even at midnight. Anytime, because he's a king. He's around all the time. He doesn't work. So he can call anytime." Then he says, "So what do you do if he calls you at midnight? What do you do if he calls you at midnight?" Do you know what the answer was?
No.
She said, when he calls me at midnight, I wake up, I take my bath, I dress up, I do up my hair, and then I go happily. I go happily because I hear the word come. I hear the king says, come. No matter what the time is, no matter what the season is, no matter what day of the time is, whether it is morning, whether it is night, whether it is afternoon, anytime the king calls me, I know he's calling me because I am the favorite. And all I do is go because I am loved. Anytime, I am loved. You are called because you are loved. Hallelujah. If you are not loved, you will not be called. If they don't love you, they will not invite you. It is out of love that God is calling you. It is out of love that God is giving you that invitation. And he says, come. Hallelujah. I'm almost ending. Point number five. What is the point number five? Come. Number five, come. God is inviting you to come to him so that you will have life. God is inviting you to come to him so that you will have life. John 5 verse 40. He says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Hallelujah. The purpose of the calling, the purpose of the invitation is that you will have life. Hallelujah. It says, come that you will have life. Amen. Many people have heard this invitation. Many people have received this invitation. But you have not responded. You have not responded. There's a certain change that comes in you when you really respond to this invitation. And until You receive the invitation in this way, you will never change. Church, did you hear me? Until you receive the invitation in its special form, you will never change. You will never change. Until you receive the invitation this special way, you can sit in a church as a homosexual. You will not change. You can sit in a church as a thief. You will not change. Until you receive the invitation in a very special way, you will sit in a church as a hypocrite. You will sit in a church as a thief. You will sit in a church as a liar. You will never change. You will never change. Until you receive the invitation in a very special way, you will not change. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. It says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." As he went, on his way to Jairus' house, the people thronged him. The people crushed him. The other version says there was a big crowd, a large crowd. Crushed him, thronged him. You know, when the crowd is coming and you are in the crowd, you feel like you are following also. You feel you are a part of it. You feel you are going where he's going. You feel you are a follower of Jesus. But until you have a certain response to the invitation, you will not change. You will not change. Are you listening? Go, keep going. "And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him in the crowd." There was one woman came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Beloved, until you have received the invitation in a special way, you will not change. You may have said it with your mouth, but you have not changed. You may have lifted up your hand in a confession, but you have not changed. The change is from inside. The change is within. He says, "There came behind him a woman and touched the border of his garment." In the crowd, the large crowd, where everyone was crashing on him, everyone was touching him. Everyone was touching him. He says, "And immediately inside her, within her, the blood issue stanched." It stopped. The problems were gone. The sins were gone. The darkness was gone. There was new light in her, within her. And she felt it. You have not felt that change. You don't feel that change. You have not experienced that change. I say, you have not experienced that change. It says within her, inside her. It says, immediately her issue of blood stanched. And I tell you, the next verse, look at that. Please. "And Jesus said, Who touched me? He said, who touched me? Who touched me? The whole crowd was crashing on him. They were trying to drag him. Everyone. And the disciples were struggling to keep him safe. Then Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee. The multitude, the crowd is crushing you. We are struggling here to keep you safe. Don't you see how everyone is reaching out to touch you? The multitude thrust thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? You are asking who touched me within this crowd? Of all the hands that are on you, you are asking who touched me? And the next verse, and Jesus said, somebody has touched me in a way that is different. Somebody has touched me in a different way. Somebody in the crowd has touched me in a different way. Someone has received something out of me. It's a different touch. It's not a crowd touch. It's not a fake touch. It's not a hypocrisy touch. Someone has touched me in a very particular way. It's a different touch. You are asking if anybody touched me. Yes, there is someone in the crowd who has touched me. He says, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Until that virtue has gone out of him, your touch is no touch. Until that virtue has gone out of him, you have not touched him. He says, someone has a special touch. Someone has a heart to receive. Someone has received that invitation in a way that is different from the crowd. Someone's touch is different. Someone has welcomed this virtue, and I feel it that the virtue has gone out of me. Virtue in the Greek word means dunamis. It's a power has gone out of me. Until that power comes in you, you will not change. You will not change. You will not change. You will not change. Until that power comes in you, you will not change. Church, the touch is different. It's a particular type of touch. If you don't welcome the invitation in a special way, it becomes a show. It becomes one of the crowd. Another person that is following in the crowd. You will not change. He says, this is different, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, because you see, it was a dangerous thing that she did. A woman with an issue of blood, you are not supposed to touch a prophet. In fact, you are not supposed to sit in a church. So she was shaking. And she came trembling. I am dead. They are going to kill me. They are going to stone me. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And how she was healed immediately. 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 Within. Your sins wiped away immediately. Immediately you receive power over sin. Church, did you hear me? I said immediately you receive power over sin. When you receive that virtue. Power over sin. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. My final point. What's number six? Come. Jesus is inviting you to come because he has prepared a great supper for you. God is inviting you to a great supper. God is calling you to a great supper. Amen. And he says, come. Hallelujah. You know, when it comes to the things of God, we have a lot of excuses. When it comes to the things of God, we have a lot of excuses. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. People don't respond to God's invitation with importance. Luke 14 and verse 15. It says, and when one of them that sat at meat, Jesus was invited to someone's party. And he sat down and he saw people struggling to sit at a high table. And then he gave advice. He says, listen, when you go to a place and they invite you to a place, don't rush to go to the high table. Just sit at the lowest table. Because you can be sitting at the high table, and when someone who is higher than you shows up, they will come and they come and tell you silently, please, can you get up and sit here? Because someone is going to sit there. He said, you'll be so embarrassed. Don't sit there. Rather, sit at the low table. And when the guest sees you, he will upgrade you to the high table. Jesus is a wise counselor. And then one of the people who were at the table, that's a bonus scripture that I share with you. That's a Jesus counseling advice I shared with you. And then when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things as he was giving this advice, he heard these things and he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So Jesus heard someone talk about the kingdom of God. The guy was sitting next to him. And then he brought a topic about the kingdom of God. And then Jesus, the next verse, he says, then said he unto him, you're talking about the kingdom of God? Let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Let me tell you how people relate to the kingdom of God. He said, do you see all these people, how they have showed up to the party? Do you see how they are struggling at high tables? They are fighting for high tables. Let me tell you, when it comes to the kingdom of God, he says, then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. There is the kingdom of God. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. When the kingdom of God bids many, when it has invited many, people begin to make excuses. When it's not an invitation for the elite, when it's not special, when it's thrown like that, people begin to make excuses. He says, they all with one consent, as if they've all agreed. They all agreed and they make excuses. The first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Invitation to the kingdom of God. I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I have something better than this. I have more important function to attend. Let me go. Next time you are having another one, I will come. I have something important to do. I'm sorry, I can't come. Are you listening? Huh. When it comes to the things of God, oh, people have excuses. It's too far. Next time when we are doing it and it's closer, I will come. I have to buy gas and then pay toll. When you are doing it in a toll-free zone, no gas, take the number 4 train and the bus, I will come. When it pertains to the kingdom of God, as if they have agreed to make excuses. He says, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it now. Now, any excuse is good enough. As far as the kingdom of God is concerned, I have bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. I have to see it at the time that you are having this invitation. I have to go. I can't wait. I pray thee, have me excused. The next one, and another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have bought 5 cars for my business. Tipper truck. Do you know tipper truck? That day, this bishop was asking if the people know. I was shocked that the people in Zimbabwe, they also know tipper truck. They say, oh yes, we know tipper trucks. He says, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to go and prove them. I have to check the engine oil, to check the carburetor, to check that, you know, the brake fluid is filled. I have to go and check them, all 5 of them. Please, I can't come. Next time, fix the meeting in a convenient time. You don't like my message, you see. I should go to Zimbabwe or Madagascar. Let me follow the Father somewhere in Madagascar. Excuses. The kingdom of God. Jesus said, you're talking about the kingdom of God? Let me tell you how people respond when it comes to the kingdom of God. Say, I pray thee, have me excuse. The next one. Next one. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. If you have yours, play with your wife like that. For me, I am not coming. I have just married a wife. We are going for honeymoon. We are packing. We are preparing. We are going. I cannot come. I have married a wife. Simple. I have no other reason. I can't come. I will not come. Direct message. I can't come. See, he sent a text message. I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Send. Wow. 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 WhatsApp. You didn't respond to WhatsApp. SMS. You didn't respond to that one. Voicemail. I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Send. The kingdom of God. Pertaining to the kingdom of God. We keep going. So that servant came and showed his Lord all these things. Then the master of the house, being angry. It is painful when you have invited people and they all with one consent, sending you message, I can't come, I can't come, I can't come, I can't come, I can't come. It is very, very offensive. This was the day of the party. Am I preaching to someone? He sent the invitation a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, a week ago, the day of the party. Everything is ready with you in mind. We had you in mind. Your seat is reserved. The day of the party. Your name is tagged on the table. But it's because it's the kingdom of God. Jesus says, you want to know how people respond to the kingdom of God? This is how people respond to the kingdom of God. This is how people's responses are when it pertains to the kingdom of God. They all have excuses. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. You know, when I read this scripture, it is so dangerous. It is so dangerous. You know why? Because there will be polished people, polished Christians, sitting in the church, and they will not make it. They will not make it. It will be the blind, the lame, the people that you don't count as important, the people that you count as homeless, they are not part of it. They are the ones. So Jesus said, he says, the next verse, he says, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto him, go out into the highways and the hedges, the homeless places, under the bridge, places like that, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men who received the invitation, none of them, who were bidden the original invitation, none of them shall taste of my supper. I think it's a serious issue. Ponder over it. You have a season to respond to this invitation. When you go under a tree and the wind blows and you look under the tree, you see green leaves, very fresh, like a teenager, very fresh. And you see brown leaves, like a middle age, like a 40s, 50s, 60s, also on the ground. And you see very dark leaves, like old withered leaves, also on the ground. When the wind blows, the season is for some 22, for some 18, for some 58, for some 95. Everyone has a season. When the season is over, there is judgment. After this, judgment. Rise to your feet. Let's bring the service to a close. So 6 points. What's number one? Number two. Number three. Number four. Turn to your neighbor and ask, what's number five? What's number six? The Lord says, come. Bow down your heads. Bow down your heads and let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. I want to give everyone that is here a chance. Brothers and sisters, you have come to the church. You have been here for many years, or perhaps you just came, but you know in your heart that you have not responded to the call. You know in your heart that if Christ were to come today, you cannot be certain of where you are going. It sounds like a fantasy. It sounds so simple. But I want to give you a chance this afternoon. One more chance to respond to this invitation. If you are standing here today, I want to tell you that you are in your season. The season only goes to an end. And everyone is approaching the end of their season. Everyone here is approaching an end of your season. And the season is not defined for anyone. It is not known to anyone when your season will end. If you are here this afternoon and you know in your heart that you have not given your life to Jesus, the rich man said, "Nay, Father Abraham, if someone will rise up from the dead and go and speak to my brothers, they will believe and they will repent." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him." I stand in as one of the Moseses giving you this invitation. Jesus commanded that blind Bartimaeus should be called. And they called him and said, "The master calleth thee." This afternoon, I'm giving you that same invitation from the master. And he's saying, "Come, give your life to him." Beloved, you may not have this opportunity again. I don't know what awaits you tomorrow. I don't know what awaits you the next hour. But you may not have the opportunity again to respond to this call. If anyone is here and you are saying, "I want to respond to this call. I want to come to Jesus." If that is you, you should not feel anything. It is an invitation that is coming from God. If you want to respond, virtue will come into you and it will change you. You are here this afternoon. You want to say that prayer to receive Jesus into your life. Wherever you are standing, just lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. You say, "Father, I want to give my life." I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? You want to give your life to Christ? Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. You are saying, "Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to change. I want a real change. I want to experience a real change." I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior, as your Master, as your Savior, as your Master. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? He says, "Come." He says, "Come. Come." If you hear his word, do not harden your hearts. Beloved, the season is approaching an end. For some, it may be tomorrow. For some, it may be now. For some, it may be 10 years. But we cannot fool God forever. We cannot play God forever. You want a real change? Let the word, the entrance of the word of God, bring you here. If you have lifted up your hand, brother, I want you to come here. I want to pray with you. I want to say a prayer with you. And I feel that there are others who want to join him. I feel in my spirit that you ought to join him. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. This is your call. This is your invitation. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment. And it's passing by. It's passing by. I'm counting one. I'm counting to three. Two. Three. Brother, lift up your hand and say this with me. And I want the church to join me. I feel like giving you one more chance. Anyone, I feel that you need to give your life to Christ. Anyone, join right now. Join right now. Join right now. It is going. It is going. You are going to remember this. This day, you are going to remember that an offer was given to you. Brother, repeat this after me and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. please wash me with your blood. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. Please wash away my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. I welcome you into my heart. Lord Jesus, be my master, be my Lord, be my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.